today's message is called Keep Going. And its text is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when it says therefore, that means we've got to go back to the reason he said therefore. So we all know that chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith, so that it mentions all the people that had walked by faith. And many of them were persecuted and had to go through a lot of hardships, but they were all commended for their faith to continue on. So my message today is basically comparing the race that he talks about, Paul talks about, is that our Christian life is a race. Now, we know that we're here not to just do a sprint, because that's like a real high energized short sprint and it's done. We're all here for the long haul of a marathon run. So in order to have a marathon run, to endure things and persevere, like Paul says, we need to get into training. Now, I thought to myself too, the race is, each one of us has a race that's our race. We can't run someone else's race, so God gives us a race. So each one of us has different struggles, different areas, different training and weaknesses and strengths. So when an athlete competes, and I thought of Kira because I know she was a runner, is a runner, and I think of even cross-country running is more like you're adjusting to the hills and turns and different surfaces, and then pushing yourself when you need to push, and then allowing yourself to get that little bit of a breather in between. I'm sure she has a lot of good tips on that. So, and when you're in training to be any kind of athlete, there's always a training that's involved that we need to be consistent. Whether it's a physical training or a mindset of training, your psychological has to really gear up to when you're competing or getting ready to compete. So you have to have that mindset at the right place. That we're going to run, we're going to do it, and we're going to be okay, and we're going to finish. And our diet is always important too, because we don't want to add all those other things that are going to slow us down and not get us in physical shape to do that run. Because I was thinking of that too, when you get away from, if you've ever fasted something like sweets or anything like that, and then you get on a good roll and you're staying away from all the fats or the sugars and all that, and then all of a sudden the holidays come and it just throws it all out the window, because next thing you know you're eating sugar and you feel tired and you feel cranky and blah, blah. It's like, it's not good. Then you gotta get back on that good diet again. So when you compete, I'm thinking of competing of like running, swimming, even race car driving. Even though they're not physically outdoing, everything has to be slimlined, aerodynamic, and to the minimal, so that you have the least resistance. So I like how Paul says, now mine's at the NIV, it says, throw off everything that entangles. And some of the versions will say lay aside, but I like the throw off, because I think it's more purposeful, like you gotta do it, throw it off. I even think of Paul shaking off the snake, just throw it off. And when he says, throw off everything that entangles. And entangles, when I looked up, because I always like to look up the word, because sometimes we just gloss over words, and you have to really look at those words and think, what does that mean? It says, it's a snare, like a net or a rope. it constrains, makes problematic. And so that's the things that we want to make sure that doesn't hinder us or trap us when we're running our race. Things in our life that can entangle us or slow us down in our race. So 1 Corinthians 9:25 through 26 says, everyone who completes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. But see, that's what we have to be specifically mindful and have our focus. And he talks about self-discipline because he says, I am making myself self-disciplined. And we do need to self-discipline ourselves. The first thing that we need to do is think, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? And we need to really hone in on what are my weaknesses only so that we can build ourselves and better that area to make it more productive. So when we build our self-discipline and assess those things, we need to build our will to say no to when appetite says yes. So it's hard when the appetite is craving something, but it's supposed to be no, but you're yes, I want this, yes. I want the cookie. Yes, I want that. Yes, I want to watch my shows and binge watch that. Forget that. You know, there's things that we need to overcome to say no to. And some of those things, now these were listed in my notes, so in my footnotes. It says, self-discipline, we can learn to say no to friends and situations that may lead us astray from Christ. And that's hard sometimes, because if you've been around people all your life, and then something happens where the starting line is when we accept Christ in our race, then sometimes if you haven't been in that lifestyle of being a newborn Christian, there's things that need to change, and other people might not accept that and understand that. So we have to allow ourselves the ability to build up our ability to say no to certain situations that might draw us into that place of sin or entanglement. Number two is casual sex, gossip, apathy, laziness. And laziness can be turned into being, I can do it, I will do it. Because there's lots of times I don't feel like going to do this or that. We don't feel like it. But it takes a lot of discipline to override that ability and make ourselves do it. And that's when we have to look at the long-term goal. Like, what's the whole purpose? You know, what am I here for? I have a purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. Like I said, each one of us is running our own race. Self-discipline, we need to channel our will to God's purpose and plans. Paul says to throw off sin that easily entangles. And I never think, like when we read this, we just read sin that so easily entangles. What so easily entangles? Because a lot of times, they're very subtle little things. The subtle little things become more of a rope that trips you up because it's close and sometimes it's familiar. It's familiar to us. Well, that's just the way it always is. No. But if God's showing us something that needs to be removed, it's something that we don't want to keep hanging on to. So we have to have an assessment every now and then. Even when you're training for something, like an athlete again, you go to a certain place, or even when you're doing weights or doing like a run, you do a marker and say, okay, now I'm going to push past that point. I'm going to do even better. I'm going to push further. I'm going to push the weight a little higher. Once I build up to that, I'm going to push a little higher. And so every time something comes into our life even that's a weight or something that's a struggle or something that we overcome, it's a training ground to discipline ourselves to push further to past it. And once we overcome some of the obstacles in our life, then it's easier to push a little further the next time. It's like, you know what? I dealt with this kind of thing before. I can do it again. And once we do have a problem area that we might have seen where we have sin or something that might entangle us, once we acknowledge it and we confess and repent it, it's over. It's done. It's like dust it off and move on. Don't let it hold you back. Because I've done that myself. I think, you know, I'm unqualified to do this. I'm unqualified to do that. You know, I messed up here. I messed up there. And sometimes don't we talk ourselves out of things because we don't feel qualified to do it because something that we had happen in our life or something that we did or whatever. We have to learn to give ourselves some grace and forgiveness as well as we forgive other people. And we have to have an attitude that I am still qualified by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. He's the one who qualifies me for this race. Because our race is based on following Him. God has a race that's marked out for you. He calls you to your own race because He gives you certain gifts and talents that only you have. We don't want to get off course in our track. Because sometimes we can learn and listen to someone else's. We don't want to get out of our lane is what I want to say. We don't want to get out of our lane. We don't want to get off course. We can get distracted by following someone else's lead, but that's not our lane. If you're led to teach or be, or evangelize, or you're a teacher or a helper or anything that God's given us, it's something that it's for you. You don't want to compare. What happens when you're running? I remember seeing that on a replay where there was a runner. I don't know if Pastor mentioned it, a runner that was, he was winning the race. He was in the front. And then all of a sudden he looked back to see where the other guy, and the other guy, he lost. Because he took his eyes off of where he was going and he was comparing where I'm at. We can't do that with other people and what their gifts are either. So we are our own unique person. We have our own neat stuff to do. So, and sometimes people will tell you what they think that you should be doing. And maybe that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Because there's a lot of voices that come at you. And even with things in life, we have to learn to hear God's voice through the noise around us. There's a lot of things that can distract us. And we want to have more of ourselves concerned about what God's purpose is more than what other people's purposes for us are, or godly concerns over worldly concerns. So some other things that are weights. I thought about this, and we can have too many weights put on us that slow us down when we take on too many activities. Even good ones. We take on too many things where we get bogged down and we burn out and fizzle out. And then you're out. Sometimes you're injured then. You're not going to be able to do anything now. Taking on weights and burdens that aren't yours to carry. And that's where we get into, how many in here, you don't have to raise your hands, but are in that fix-it mentality. I can fix it for that person. I can help that person along. That's my job. Well, sometimes it's good to help people, but you can't fix it because that's God's business doing it with that person. And if we take on someone else's burden, we're told to carry each other's burdens, but we're not told to carry all of their burden. And then they don't have any issues. We're to share our concerns and help each other, but that's not our job to take on everything. So we have to set some boundaries. Because otherwise, we do get tired and weary. And there's so many things that come to us in our lives. Disappointments of things that have happened. Deaths, grieving. Divorces, financial problems that happen that you just lose things. you know, things are taken out from under you, fires and destruction. There's so many things that can come at you, but we don't want to let that stop us from getting out of the race. If someone's a real athlete training for the Olympics or something like this championships, when something happens to them, they say, oh, well, I guess I give up. I'm not going to do it anymore. No, they have a desire to continue to keep going. So some things that we need to do is first of all, we have to rely on Christ, not ourselves only. We have to do our part, but we have to rely on him to give us that strength to do what we need to do. And then we don't want to let those disappointments, like injuries, physical, emotional, or past offenses or hurts, keep us from moving forward. I've heard of people that I know that have been really hurt or offended by someone either in the church or in authority or a parent, and that they just totally walk away from God because they don't want to deal with that hurt. They've been hurt. They're not ever going back again. And it's sad because we can't just disregard because of a hurt or something that has been done. We have to trust it's God, not the person or the church or the people that have done stuff to us. Because it is sad. Satan wants no better way to do it than get into your head and say, it's that. It's religion. It's God doesn't care for you, or he wouldn't have let that happen. We won't always have everyone cheering for us either. There's always someone cheering for the other side. And we will have to deal with that because we need to stand strong in our life, because there's a lot of people that'll say, well, you can have your God. I don't believe in that. Okay, fine, I feel sad for you, but I'm not going to quit because of what the jeering and mocking of other people, because I know where I stand. Christ did it for me, and I'm going to follow him. And it's always hardest because you have to push past the pain when you're doing something that's really hard. You got to push past the pain. And it always seems to happen right before a breakthrough, too. So let's, there we go. So I want to go to Hebrews 10:22-23. This is the call to persevere in faith, so it ties right in. Because a lot of times when you're reading the scripture, the answer is right there in within. So if there's an issue that they're telling you not to do or whatever, the answer is there too. So we go back a little bit, and it says here, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So here's some things to do. And it says right here, draw near to God. Draw near to him. Keep in communion with him. Keep in touch with him. Don't let him out of your sight. Follow his lead. Get to know his voice. Go to the right. Go to the left. Go straight. Do this. And have a sincere heart. A sincere heart, not a half-hearted heart. And not with the wrong motives. Some people live their life just asking God for answers to prayer, and that's it. But they have no communion or knowing him and his love and his protection and giving gratitude to him and having that relationship. So it's the half-hearted with wrong motives. What am I going to get God to do for me? So we don't want to do that, but we want a sincere heart. And says here, with full assurance that faith brings. So be confident. Be confident that he is for us, not against us. Even when we fail, it says, we are sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Well, when we do sin or mess up or fail or fall, don't let that continue to stay on your mind. Say, okay, I'm covered. I've confessed it to the Lord. He has forgiven me, and I, by faith, I can continue on. And I know that he forgives me when I ask it. And hold on unswervingly to hope. When it says unswervingly, it means not, it doesn't deviate this way or that way. It's just hold on tight and believe that we have to remind ourselves who we are and he's in it with us. Because we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We don't want to doubt. We don't want to look to the right or the left when he's telling us to stay strong and hold on, look for the goal. And it says to don't give it up meeting together. So we need to encourage each other. I don't think if you want to be around the right kind of people when you have any struggles, you want to be around people that are going to build you up, not tear down, not go and criticize with you or about something. That only tightens the rope around your feet. I think of someone just throwing a rope out and taking it back, you know. So the Hall of Faith chapter gives us encouragement to finish our race even when we don't see everything. Just like the Hall of Famers here, they didn't see everything. They didn't get the promise of what we have. We have that promise, so we have even better to finish the race strong. So we don't want to give up. So, because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, we want to throw off the weights. And I want to read, I just love this from the Message, because it just sums around. I just looked it up this morning. I thought, I'm going to just look it up, and it's pretty good. So this is from the Message, so I thought it would be nice to wrap it up with this. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished his race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. So our finish line is when we get to see Jesus face to face. And our goal is to receive the crown of righteousness and to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because the race is ours. He's in it with us. He leads us. Throw off everything that hinders us. Keep on going. Don't give up. Remember what went before us and who went before us. And so we got to keep that in our mind as we go through this race that we're on and receive that crown of glory. Amen. Now, I hope this was an encouragement to every one of us, because we all need it every now and then, right? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the cross. Thank you for the victory that was won through the blood of Jesus for us. And Lord, now you just give us the plan that we just need to run it through with our life, and knowing that we are loved, we are forgiven, we have you living within us. Lord, we thank you for that endurance that you give us. Whenever we meet the challenges in our lives, Lord, you give us the strength to overcome. And Lord, we know that we look forward to seeing you and hearing that well done and faithful servant as you say it to us, Lord. We thank you again. Continue to be with each one of us and our families. Keep us safe. Be with those traveling. Be with our pastor and Rhonda. Be with the families that are grieving. And Lord, keep us, help us to keep encouraging each other along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.